22. Understanding Dad. Collecting the dishes from supper the next evening, Verity suddenly stumbled and fell. Plates and cutlery went flying everywhere. A tingling sensation had numbed her leg again, and this time a sharp pain also shot up her back. "I'm so sorry," she said in embarrassment, looking at the mess strewn across the floor. Mum and Aunt Judy patiently helped her to clean it up. Trying to distract everyone from Verity's clumsiness, Aunt Judy said, "I was cleaning in the attic today, Verity, and I found some old stories that your father wrote in school." "Really?" Verity started washing the pots and pans in the sink. "I'd love to read them." "They're quite funny, some of them," laughed Aunt Judy. "Kara, do you remember the trial of the big bad wolf? I think you were going out with Dan when he wrote that play." "Yes, I do. The teacher read it to the class and everyone howled with laughter all the way through," Kara said, smiling at the memory. Verity glanced over at Thomas, who was on the sofa, looking intently at a magazine. She was sure he was listening. "What was Dad like when you were first going out, Mum?" Kara gazed at Verity hesitantly. She wasn't used to discussing this topic. "He was very nice," she began slowly. "He could make me laugh, and we really enjoyed being together." She picked up a dish towel to dry the clean pots. "I always knew he had a temper, but I thought he had it under control. We went to church together, and he tried to live a good life." She paused and then shook her head. "But he was always questioning everything, just like you, Verity." Verity felt her mum's reproachful look. "It wasn't until we'd been married for 5 years," Kara continued, "that things began to go wrong. Dan started drinking a little too much." Kara stole a quick glance at Thomas, but his eyes were firmly fixed on the magazine. "When he lost his job after he went to work drunk, your dad became very depressed. All he looked forward to was having the next drink. He stopped going to church with me and started mocking anyone who did. That's when he became abusive and out of control." "Yet you wouldn't leave him," put in Verity. Kara Lovell put her hand over her face and sighed. "I couldn't. He was a sick man, Verity. I still loved him for what he had been." She shook her head sadly. "I guess I always hoped that one day he would get better." Verity put her arm around her mother. "It's too bad he never found any answers while he was questioning everything," she said softly. "But Verity," said her mum teary-eyed, "that's why I'm so worried about you. You're questioning long-standing traditional beliefs, those that all the churches have taught for years." "Mum, there's a huge difference between Dad and me," Verity smiled. "I'm not just questioning. I'm finding out what the Bible teaches, and that's the truth I'm going to hold fast to. I'm not giving up on God." A sudden thought occurred to Verity, and she ran to get the old King James Bible. "Mum," she said, coming back in and hastily flipping the pages, "I've been wondering who wrote all the little notes in this Bible. I wonder if you and Aunt Judy can tell." She showed them a few of the notes. Most of them were question marks or comments like, "How does this fit?" Aunt Judy and Kara studied a few of the comments and then looked at each other in amazement. "Your dad wrote these," Aunt Judy stated. "He always ran his printing together, just like this," said Kara, pointing it out. She looked up again, astonished. "I never knew Dan read the Bible. He told me he did, but I didn't believe him." Verity closed the old book up. She felt she had just given everybody one more reason to worry about her, but nonetheless, she was happy to know the notes were her dad's. Hopping into bed that night, Verity turned on her reading light and settled down beneath her warm quilt to continue reading. She loved evenings when she had the quiet of her own room and time to think. Night after night, she was progressing through the Bible, and now she was in the Psalms. It was with great delight that she came to Psalm 72, the same psalm they had read together at the Simons' home. When Verity finished reading the visionary psalm again, she lay back, imagining what Jesus' reign on earth would be like. "I want to see this day," she reflected dreamily, "this day when Jesus will come back to the earth again. Imagine such a righteous man being the king over all the earth. Imagine a ruler that actually cares for the poor and oppressed. Imagine a ruler who knows what everyone is thinking and always makes the right decisions." Her curiosity about this time made her wonder if there were other chapters that would give her even more details. "Would I be able to find some using my cross-references?" she wondered. Sitting up again, she examined the center column of her Bible. Sure enough, there were several cross-references for Psalm 72. For a long while, she flipped to one passage after another, making a list of all the relevant details she could find about the kingdom. It was way past midnight when she finally turned off her light and put her Bible away. She discovered Isaiah was full of chapters about the kingdom. The most vivid were Isaiah 2 and 11. Now in her mind's eyes, she could picture all the nations of the earth going to Jerusalem to hear God's laws being taught. The hill of Jerusalem was going to be elevated way above all the hills around it, and a temple to God built there. Jesus was going to reign from this city, just like King David had so many years ago. Yet Jesus would be King of the world. It was a wonderful picture of peace and happiness for those who willingly chose to follow God's ways. There were to be pretty harsh judgments on the wicked, though. Verity still found that side of God a surprise. In Isaiah chapter 11, she had been amazed to read that even the animals were going to get along. The wolf would dwell with the lamb, and lions would eat straw like the ox. What a lot of changes would have to take place in the world. I want to be there, she determined, to see this day when everyone in the world will finally understand the promises God has offered. I want to see them fulfilled on the earth and appreciated as God's gift. It was difficult for Verity to fall asleep that night, as she felt fully awake, but she knew she would be tired in the morning. As she lay there in the darkness, her eyes glanced over to the picture on her wall, lit up by the hallway light, with two smiling faces looking out at her. She thought back to the discussions she'd had with Aunt Judy and her mum that evening. So all those little notes in the old King James Bible were her father's. Maybe she could relate to him after all. He'd had questions just like she did, and he had tried to find the answers. Why didn't he find those answers? Didn't he dig deep enough? Did he pray to God for help? Or did he give up when things didn't seem to make sense? She remembered Mr. Simon's words. It really comes down to our attitude on how we approach the Bible. Do we say, my beliefs are right, so the Bible has to fit around them? Or do we say, the Bible is God's word, it's right, so I'll let it teach me? What attitude had her father approached the Bible with? Whatever her dad's attitude had been, she had a new respect for him. At least he had tried. She wished he was still alive, and that she could share all the answers she was finding with him. Then with a shock, she realized that for the first time, she had just felt some sorrow over her father's departing. Sitting up in bed, she looked at the picture again. With sadness, she focused on the eyes of the man smiling at her. I think I understand you better, Dad, she said to herself. I know you'll never hear me say this, but I forgive you. Tears began to fill her eyes as she continued softly. I completely forgive you for all the pain you've caused our family. I know you didn't plan to become so scary to us. It just happened. I know I will never see you again. But from now on, I will just remember the good things about you and let go of the rest. The tears poured down her cheeks as she bowed her head and thanked God for all the help he had brought into her life and for all the answers that she was beginning to find. Then she pleaded earnestly that he would help Thomas as well, and soon, before it was too late.